Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, and we want to talk about the mantle of Elijah and Elisha. Pastor Darrell, you might as well go ahead and get our mantle out. Let's go ahead and... He's got a mantle ministry going on here. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. The mantle of Elijah and Elisha. Oh, my goodness. What a great day it is in the house of the Lord. In the life and times of Elijah and Elisha, there was a transition that was taking place. Tell your neighbor, there was a transition. God's always in a season of transition. There was a transition from Elijah to Elisha. There was a transition from the single portion to the double portion. Amen? And there is a transition going on in our lives as well. Let's read the word of the Lord together. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then your Bible says, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, where is the Lord? Where is the God of Elijah? Amen? Father, we ask for your blessings on our time together in your word. We pray for the Holy Spirit to give revelation. We pray for impartation. We pray for manifestation. We pray for continuation. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord has impressed upon me the word escalation. And the word escalation, the Lord has given me some definition to that, and that is that he is escalating that which has been in the atmosphere of our lives. I want you to think about what has been in the atmosphere of your life. And the Lord said he is escalating that. Now, let me give you some good news about that. For some of us, there have been trouble and trials. Anybody had trouble and trials in your life here recently? Now, the Lord said he's escalating that, but it's a new season. He has ordained a breakthrough for you in this season that he's escalating in your life. Are you ready to claim your breakthrough? It's a new season. It's a new season of breakthrough. And the Lord is about to bring you into that new season. And if you want double for the trouble you're coming out of, would you say amen? Have you had enough trouble? Have you had enough trial? Would you like double anointing for the trouble and trial that you've been through? Well, it's a new season. Tell your neighbor, it's a new season. God's transitioning you from the old season to the new season. God's transitioning you from the single portion to the double portion. Amen. I want to share with you some things that I have observed about that season that Elisha and Elijah were in. You see, Elijah was there and Elisha was there, but there was the transition that was taking place. Let me show you the first thing that I want you to notice whenever God is taking you from a single portion to a double portion. Whenever God is taking you from a season of a barrenness and a season of difficulty into a season of prosperity and peace, there will be revelation that will be received. In the day of Elisha, revelation was being received. Oh my goodness, can anybody get excited about revelation today? You see, revelation is when God tells you something that you didn't know. You know, one of the problems with religion is religion think they know everything God's ever said. You don't get excited about revelation because you think God's revealed everything to you that you're ever going to have revealed to you. You know, one of the things that makes a Christian life dynamic and exciting is the possibility of new revelation coming to you every single day. I want to tell you that in the days of the Bible, it was days of revelation. There is a lie that has gone on from the death of the last apostle that God doesn't reveal anything anymore. Well, if God didn't reveal anything anymore, how'd you know you need to get saved? You see, you didn't think about that on your own. God had to reveal that to you. Anybody ever had teenagers? God reveals things to you about your teenagers. God will let you know things. And if you got teenagers and you're not walking in revelation, ask God for revelation. He'll tell you what's going on. I want to show you something in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, do you not, what's that word? Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? You see, they thought that they knew something that Elisha didn't know. Or if Elisha, surely Elisha knew it because God had revealed that already. Amen. Now look at this. And Elisha answered, yes, I what? I know. Oh my goodness, what do you know today? What do you know today that you need to know? Or what do you not know that you need to know? God's still in the revelation business. You see, God is wanting to give revelation to you. If how many of you got a problem that you hadn't been able to solve lately? Guess what? God's in the revelation business. God will reveal the answer to your problem. But sometimes what you need even more than the answer to your problem is you need to know the cause of your problem. God will reveal to you the cause of your problem. Amen. And if he reveals the cause of the problem, guess what? The answer can't be far behind. Amen? Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And so here we were. It was the time of transition that God was about to transition Elijah to a new season of his life. Can you imagine what it was like for Elijah to be on the receiving end of this revelation? What was it that God had revealed to Elijah? God had revealed to Elijah that he was going to leave this earth. But he wasn't going to leave this earth by way of death. He was going to leave this earth like Enoch had left this earth in a supernatural whirlwind of grace and chariots of fire and the presence and the power of God. That one day, Elijah, the chariots are coming. One day, Elijah, the chariots are coming. The angels are coming. And my presence is coming. And I'm going to catch you up in a whirlwind. And Elijah had received this revelation. Yes. But now, that did something for Elisha. He knew that if Elijah was leaving, then somebody had to be succeeding. Now, he'd already had the mantle of Elijah fall on him and call him into the prophetic ministry. Right. He had walked with Elijah. He had talked with Elijah. He had entered into the school of the prophets with Elijah. And Elijah had been mentoring him, had been teaching him. Yes. Everywhere that Elijah went, Elisha would go as well. He'd seen Elijah do powerful things. He'd seen Elijah do great things. And he knew that if Elijah was going, somebody else was next. Amen. Somebody else was next because God's prophetic ministry wasn't going to leave with Elijah. You know, the spirit of religion wants you to think that the prophetic ministry has left, that there's no need for it. You need evangelists and you need pastors and you need teachers, but you don't need prophets and you don't need apostles. But I want to tell you, God's ministry of revelation was being received now and God's then and God's ministry of revelation needs to be received today. Amen? Amen. God's going to put something on you today that you're going to say amen about, all right? Chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven, Elijah knew that he was going to leave the world in miraculous fashion. And so he knows it could be this step that he takes. He knows that it might be the next step that he takes. And so every step that he was taken with intentionality. And Elisha was following him. And as Elisha was following him, Elisha knew that every step that he takes could be the last step he takes before the chariots come and the whirlwind takes him up in supernatural fashion. How did he know that? Revelation was being received in that day. Look at your next verse of scripture in Luke chapter 3, verse 2. As I was reading our chronological lessons for this week, I was captured by this in Luke chapter 3, verse 2, as it introduced to us John the Baptist and the ministry that he had. Look at what it says. The Word of God did what? The Word of God came to who? John. To John. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about revelation. We're talking about the Word of God coming to you. We're talking about the Word of God coming to you alive. We're talking about the Word of God coming to you in power. We're talking about the Word of God coming to you with precision. We're talking about the Word of God coming to you, and you know exactly what God is up to in the world around you. Does anybody like some insight into what's going on around you? Guess what? Ask God for the Word to come to you. Ask God for His Word to come to you. Ask God to give you revelation into the problem that you have. Ask Him to give you illumination into the choices that you need to make. Ask God to give you His wisdom on what you are facing. Can somebody say amen for me today? The Word of God came to John. Now, what Word came to John? Well, the Word that came out of his mouth when he came forth the scene preaching. Now, would to God that all of us preachers would only open our mouth when the Word of God has come to us. Amen? Amen? And it says, and he came preaching a baptism of repentance for the what? For the forgiveness of sin. How did John know to preach the baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sin? Water baptism. How did he know to do that? The Word of God came to him. The Word of God came to him, and he knew that's what God wanted said. He knew that's what God wanted obeyed. He knew that's what needed to be happened. But also, he came preaching another baptism. He says, I baptize you with water, yes indeed, but one is coming, and he will baptize you with what? Woo, glory to God. How did John know to say that? Because the Word of God came to him. Oh, my goodness, we ought to be the most expectant Christian people on the face of this earth. Children of God ought to be the most anticipating people on the face of the earth. One of the things that the devil wants to do is he wants to dumb down your expectation. One of the things the devil wants to do is he wants to minimize the power of faith in your life. One of the things the devil wants to do is to get you thinking that there's nothing new coming to you under the face of this earth. He wants to make you think that God doesn't have a word for you. God doesn't have a will for you. God doesn't have truth for you. But I want to tell you that's a lie that ought to be renounced, because the Word of God still comes to His children. John knew what he ought to be preaching. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, and Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not what? Reveal. Reveal is something that it is supernatural. Did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven did what? He revealed this to you. Man, we ought to get excited about revelation being received. We ought to be excited. Every day that you get up, every day that I get up, we ought to get excited that God might reveal something new to you today. God might reveal an assignment to you. God might reveal an opportunity for you. God might reveal an employer for you. He might reveal an employment opportunity for you. He might reveal provision for you. He might reveal a warning for you. He wants to reveal something to you. But if you don't wake up, and if you don't acknowledge Him, and if you don't walk in the Spirit, how are you going to know what the Spirit's saying? What did Jesus say to all seven of the churches in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3? He who has an ear, let him what? Let him hear what the Spirit is revealing to the churches. Man, the most informed people on the face of the earth ought to be twice-born men and women living in a once-born world. We ought to wake up every day wanting to know what the Spirit's wanting to reveal today, because what He's revealing is what He's doing, and what He's doing is where He is acting. Amen. And Jesus said to him, Simon, he said, if I gave you 1,000 minds and 1,000 lives, you never would have come up with that answer on your own. What answer did he come up to? That Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. God had to reveal that to him. Do you remember where you were at when God revealed to you that you didn't have a relationship with him? You see, if God doesn't reveal to you that you don't have a relationship with Him, you'll never have revealed to you what it takes to have a relationship to Him. That's what Christianity is all about, is the revelation ministry of God. God is Spirit, and those who are going to know Him are going to have to know Him in spirit. But you're born with a dead spirit. And it doesn't connect with God. It doesn't communicate with God. God has to reveal Himself to you and your condition to you. Man, for some of us, it takes longer than it takes others. It took me 25 years to have that revelation get through this thick skull of mine. But ever how long it takes, let it take. Because God wants to reveal to somebody here today that you don't have a relationship with Him. You've been religious, but it's gotten you nothing but sickness and sorrow and heartache and heartbreak and shame and guilt and on and on and on. But you don't have a dynamic, personal relationship with God living inside of you. I want to tell you, it makes a difference when God lives in you. It makes a difference when God talks to you. It makes a difference when God shows up for you. It makes a difference when you are redeemed as opposed to just being religious. Revelation was being received that day. Elijah received revelation. The sons of the prophets at Jericho received this revelation. The sons of the prophets at Bethel received this revelation. Elisha received this revelation that a miracle is going to happen today. A miracle is going to happen today, and you're part of it, Elijah. Amen. Wouldn't you like for God to reveal to you that a miracle is about to happen to you today? That God's going to do something supernatural? God's going to do something spectacular? Wouldn't you like to know that He's going to do that? Well, my goodness, go ahead and report for duty. Say, Lord, Your servant's listening. Go ahead and speak, because I'm ready for that revelation today. Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Do you remember where you were when you received that revelation? You say, well, Pastor, what's it take to receive revelation from God? We've got the givens. We've got to have a relationship with Him, or you've got to be willing for Him to establish a relationship with you. But listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 17. Jesus says, if anyone is willing to do God's will, then you will know. If anyone is willing to do God's will, then you will know. Now, why would God reveal something to you if He knew you weren't willing to do it? You already made up your mind. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how bold it is. I don't care how spectacular it is. I ain't doing it. Well, you just assigned yourself to more silence. God wants to reveal Himself to people He knows is willing to do whatever He says to do. Can you imagine if Mary had made up her mind, I'm never going to do a virgin birth. I'm never going to do a virgin birth. And the angel came and revealed something to her. What? You are blessed and highly favored, Mary. God has chosen you for this miracle. And Mary lived with her yes on God's altar. God, I'll do miracles with you, even if it means a virgin birth. Amen. Oh, my goodness. What are you unwilling to do? And what do you need to become willing to do? Amen? Revelation was being received then. Wouldn't it be great if revelation was being received today? Amen. Oh, I want to tell you, it is. And wouldn't it be great if the house that you live in, if the place that you abide in was a house of revelation? Wouldn't it be great if the prayer life that you were involved in was a revelation ministry? I tell you, God wants to reveal those kinds of things to us. Let me show you a second thing. When revelation is being received, then let me show you the second thing. Impartation was being desired. Impartation was being desired. Now, what was the revelation that had been received? That is, Elijah is about to transition out of this life. And the prophetic ministry is going to go on. And so here Elisha is. He's got a desire. He knows the revelation. The sons of the prophets in Jericho knew it. The sons of the prophets in Bethel knew it. But they didn't go with him to Jericho. They didn't go with him to Bethel. They didn't go to him to the Jordan River. They didn't believe that they could be a part of that miracle. But Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. You see, what he wanted is what he knew. He knew that God was about to take Elijah out. And if God was about to take Elijah out, that meant that God's prophetic ministry was either going to end or it was going to be imparted to somebody else. And if God's prophetic ministry is not going to end and is going to be imparted to somebody else, Elisha's saying, I volunteer. All right. I volunteer. Yes. But listen to what he asked for. He said, Elijah, I want to be twice the man that you were. Now, Elijah responded to Elisha's request. He said, you're asking a hard thing. And you know, the more I study that, the more I read that, the more I'm wondering if it wasn't a harder thing for Elijah to hear than it was for Elisha to ask. Because he's saying, Elijah, as good as you've been and as great as you influence you had, I want to have twice that. I want to do twice for God what you did. And Elijah is about to leave this old world. He's about to leave this old world, and what he's been able to do, what he's been able to accomplish is done. But Elisha, he's just beginning. He's just transitioning into that. And he says, I know this one thing, is I want you to impart on me what's helped you to do the great things you've done for the glory of God. And I want it in double fashion. I want it in double portion. The word impart, do you know what that word impart means? That word impart, it simply means to give or share a portion. I want you to give or I want you to share a portion with me. It means to impart also means to reveal. It means to give. It means to tell. You know, right now I'm imparting a message to you. I'm giving a message to you. I'm sharing a message with you. I am revealing a message to you. And so impartation is something that ought to be a regular part of our life. If we want revelation to be received, then impartation is going to have to be desired. Because impartation requires expectation. Amen? Yes. Now, Elisha wasn't asking for something he didn't expect. He was fully expecting that if there's a double portion of God's presence, if there's a double portion of God's power, if there's a double portion of God's peace on you, then I want it too. If the power of God's on you, if the presence of God's with you, if the provision of God's with you, I want that too. He expected that. What are you expecting today? What am I expecting today? Amen. Elijah said to him, ask what I shall do before I'm taken up. And Elijah says, I want a double portion to be on me. Now, in Numbers chapter 11, we talked about this earlier in this year. God told Moses to gather 70 men, bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And verse 17, what's the first word in verse 17? Then. When is then? When the 70 men are gathered, when the 70 men are at the tent of meeting, then God's going to come down and what? See, I'm going to come down and reveal something to you, Moses. Oh, my goodness, can you get excited about the revelation ministry of God? Aren't you glad that God will come down and still speak to you? He'll still speak to me. I'm looking out here, and there's some people right here now that you've had a taste of the Lord, and you know that He's good, but do you want a double portion of that taste? Do you want a double portion of that experience that you had with Him? Then I want to tell you, I'll come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the Spirit who is where? Who's upon you, and I'll put him where? I'll put him upon them. You see, here's what Elisha was wanting. He was wanting a transfer of the Spirit of God that was on Elisha's spirit to be imparted or shared with him. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And what happened when the Spirit came upon them and when the Spirit rested upon them? Oh, my goodness, I don't know about you, but I've had the Spirit to flutter on me a few times. But I want the Spirit to rest on me. Amen? I want Him to rest on me. You know, I've been preaching about this, and I've learned to look in the natural for supernatural affirmations or messages. This time last year, we were preaching about why the bad things happen to godly people. And I brought remember the bagworms? Do anybody remember the bagworms? In a tree in our house, one of those great big pencil trees. What's it, the cypress, Italian cypress? An Italian cypress tree. Some of these bagworms had gotten in there. And those bagworms, they hide in there. And they come out when they don't think anybody's looking, and they begin to destroy the evergreen. They begin to destroy the life out of that tree. And you gotta recognize those bagworms. You gotta remove those bagworms. You gotta destroy those bagworms. Well, man, this is a new season. Say, we're in a new season. You know what I found on my porch last Monday when I went out there? I found two doves. I found two doves on my porch. Oh my goodness! Ooh. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, my goodness, and those two doves out there, and God said, I'm going to give you the double portion. I'm going to give you the double portion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they what? they prophesied. You see, that's all about revelation. You see, prophecy is just speaking the future that God's revealed to you. When God comes upon you and God rests upon you and He reveals something to you, He wants you to share what's been revealed. He wants you to speak, and prophecy often deals with the future being revealed that God has made you aware of. Here, when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, and the Spirit rested upon Eldad and Medad, and they did what? They prophesied where? In the camp. Oh, my goodness. You see, the impartation was being desired. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, listen to this. Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom. How did Joshua get filled with the spirit of wisdom? Listen to this. For Moses had laid his hands on him. You see, an impartation occurred. A transfer of what's on one person from God onto another person. Say amen. And listen to this about Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the elders. Tell your neighbor, impartation requires expectation. Expectation comes from revelation. Oh, my goodness. When you have a revelation received from God, it ought to build expectation in you that an impartation of that truth is about to come to pass. Amen? Amen. And so be listening very carefully to what the Spirit's saying to the churches, because impartation was being desired by Elisha. How did he know to desire that impartation? Because revelation was being received. But let me show you a third thing. It's an exciting thing. And that is manifestations were being observed. Whenever revelation is being received and impartation is being desired, then manifestations are going to be observed. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now I want you to look at this. Look at this. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 15, it says, Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him, which is Elisha, look at this, did what? When they saw Elisha. Now, let me put this in context for you. This is after the whirlwind came for Elijah. This is after the chariots of fire and the angels carrying him up towards heaven. This is after the mantle fell down. This is after Elisha picked up Elijah's mantle. This is after Elisha stood at the Jordan and said, Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And he threw his mantle down and parted the Jordan waters. This is after that. After that happened, it says, Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite Elisha saw Elisha, they said, The spirit of Elijah does what? Rest on Elisha. Now how did they know that the spirit of Elijah was resting on Elisha? What did they see that allowed them to know that the spirit of Elijah was now resting on Elisha? Oh my goodness, have you ever looked and seen somebody say, I wonder what's on them? Oh my goodness, you ought to have my view right here. There's sometimes I wonder what is on them this morning. Whatever's on you will be shown by you. And if the Spirit of the Lord is on you, the Spirit of the Lord is going to be seen by others. Amen. I mean, there's some people come in here and they think they can hide bitterness. I may remember Naomi. What does Naomi's name mean? Pleasantness. Yeah. Naomi means pleasant or sweet. And when they called her Naomi, she said, Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara or bitterness. Now, they didn't have to. They could look at her countenance and see she wasn't Naomi anymore. That's what they were asking. They said, What has got on Naomi? She went down to Moab and something has got on her. And Mara had got all her bitterness had gotten all over her. Well, I want to tell you, when you have been in the presence of angels, when you have been in the presence of revelation, when you have heard the Spirit say and you have seen the miracle work of God, and you have had the miracle in your hand, and you've had the obedience to throw down and tell that Jordan River to cross for you, I want to tell you, when you come walking through on dry ground, somebody's going to say, what is on you? You came through on dry ground. Amen. Manifestations of the Spirit are going to be seen, and people are going to be saying, look at there, it's on him. It's on her. Oh my goodness, it's on her. Oh, hallelujah. Look at Numbers chapter 25. When the Spirit rested upon them, they what? And the Spirit rested upon Eldad, Medad, and they did what? They prophesied. I want to tell you, the time is coming when revelation is going to be received in this house. I want to tell you, the time is coming when impartation is being desired in this house. When revelation is being received and impartation is being desired, then manifestation is going to be observed. And one of the ways that the manifestation is going to be observed is by the prophetic word being released with the power of God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I wish I had time for that, but let me show you number four. Number four, continuation was being secured. What was going on when Elijah was taken out and the mantle fell to Elisha? The continuation of the prophetic ministry was being secured. God has always seen to it that he's had prophets on the land. Prophets have not always been welcome. They've not always been valued. But prophets have always been on the scene. God left the church, and when Jesus went up to heaven, he threw down on the church his mantle. And the mantle that he threw down on the church included the gifts to men. The gifts that he left for men were the positional gifts of apostle, of a prophet, of evangelist, of pastor, of teacher. And when God did that, there's prophets in the land. When you read through the book of Acts, you'll find that every church in the book of Acts that was filled with the Spirit of God and with power had prophets in their midst. What is the value of prophets? I'm glad you'd like to know. I want to look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 17. It says, but when they urged him until he was ashamed, he said, send. And they searched 3 days, but they did not find him. Now, what that means right there is, even though these sons of prophets from Jericho, these sons of prophets from Bethel, even though they had received the revelation from God, even though that they knew that the prophetic ministry was alive with Elijah, and even though they knew that they'd been transferred to Elisha, they just couldn't believe that Elisha was really gone. And they said, please, Elisha, please, let's go and send out a search party for him. Maybe the Spirit of God dropped him down somewhere else and he's out there, don't know what to do, and he can't find his way back to us. And so, look, that's when it says, but when they urged him and urged him and urged him until he was ashamed. He said, man, I'm ashamed of this bunch right here. I'm you're just embarrassing yourselves and you're embarrassing me. He said, well, go ahead. And they searched for 3 full days and they didn't find him. Well, what did Elisha know that they didn't know? That the continuation of the prophetic ministry had already been secured. It fell down in symbolic fashion with the mantle. And when he struck the waters the first time, he saw the double portion unfolding for him right there. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. The very first opportunity that Elisha had after Elijah was gone and the double portion was on him, then the men of the city said to Elisha, behold now, the situation of this city is what? See, we got a good place here, Elisha. We'd like for you to set your ministry up here. We'd like for you to set your ministry up here. Look how pretty things are. Look how nice things are. But, you know, there's just two problems that we've got here. It says, the water is bad and the land is unfruitful. Now, the word for bad, for water, is bitter. And the word for bitter is death. You know, if you carry bitterness around with you very long, it's going to result in death. Amen. And that's what had happened there. We've got death and unfruitfulness. We've got barrenness and bitterness all over this land right here. What did Elisha do to correct the problem of barrenness and bitterness? He said, I just need a little bit of salt. Just go get me a little bit of salt and bring it to me. And so they brought a little bit of salt to him. And he put the salt in the bitter and the barren water. And then he prophesied. And when he prophesied, he says that, but thus saith the Lord, I have purified, verse 21, I have purified these waters. There shall not be from there death or unfruitfulness. What? Do you know what this world's bitterness needs? It just needs for Christians to put a little salt in it. It just needs for you to be a little salty and me to be a little salty. It just means for you to be what God has created you and redeemed you to be, and me to be what God's created and redeemed me to be. Would anybody like to be the cure for somebody else's bitterness and barrenness today? Then you just rise up with a prophetic anointing on you, and you speak words of life into that death. You speak words of fruitfulness into that barrenness, and by the word of the Lord, it will be so. Can somebody say amen? Oh, my goodness, that was then, and this is now. But I want to tell you that what happened then, God wants to happen now. You see, God wants the continuation of the double portion prophetic ministry to continue today. Because the double portion prophetic ministry is crucial to the death that's all over this land and the barrenness that's all over this land. The double portion anointing is critical for the success and the victory and the militancy of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Because you see, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ isn't going to be this little weak, limp, beaten up, crippled, maimed bride that Jesus is coming back for. I want to tell you, the church that Jesus Christ is coming back for is going to have the double portion of mantle of Elisha going forth. And the word of prophecy is going to be going forth. The word of prophecy is going to be fulfilled. He's going to speak to death and barrenness. The church is going to reverse the bitterness and the barrenness. He's going to reverse the death and the lifelessness. He is going to, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say to this generation, you're not dead. Your dream is not gone. Your destiny's not stopped. In the name of Jesus, you rise up and life is going to come back into you. Amen. But we need the continuation to be secured today. And let me show you that how that happens with a prophetic word. With a prophetic word, I want to show you things that the prophetic word has to do. Remember, prophecy is speaking the future that God reveals. Prophecy is just simply speaking the future that God reveals. It might be the future of a person. It might be the future involving a place. It might be the future involving things. Whatever the future holds for a person, place, or a thing, God's looking for prophets and prophetesses that he can reveal that truth to, that will believe that truth and will speak that truth in love. Now, prophetic words are powerful words. And that's why one of the gifts that he left to the church was the gift of the prophet. You see, you have the office of prophet and you have the gift of prophecy. And so what I want to show you are just four simple truths about prophetic words. First of all, I want you to notice that prophetic words have the power to bring life out of death. Prophetic words have the power to bring life out of death. In chapter 2, verse 19, what was the testimony given by the prophets of that day, of the elder statesmen of that place? So this is a pleasant place, as you can see. The only two things that's wrong is the water's bad and it's unfruitful. Amen. That there's death here and there's barrenness here. But what did the prophet do? The prophet rose up in the midst of that and said, by the word of the Lord, there won't be any death here and there won't be any unfruitfulness here as long as the Lord is on the throne. You see, prophecy has the ability to speak the future that God has revealed. And so we need to have prophetic words, because there will be situations in your life, in my life, that death is trying to take over. But God will come and he'll say, I want to speak to that death that's around you. I want to speak to that atmosphere of death. I want to speak to that atmosphere of unfruitfulness. And I want life to come out of that in the name of Jesus. And God will give somebody filled with the Spirit a word of knowledge. God will give somebody filled with the Spirit a prophetic insight. And they will, under the Spirit of the Lord, they will speak life out of that death. Amen? Amen. Prophetic words are powerful. And the continuation needs to be secured. But number two, let me show you this one right out of this. And prophetic words have the power to bring fruitfulness out of barrenness. Prophetic words have the power to bring fruitfulness out of barrenness. In chapter 4, verse 16, you're introduced to a woman. It's called the Shunammite woman. This Shunammite woman loved God, was loyal to God. And when she saw Elisha, something was revealed to her. it was revealed to her that this is a man of God. And she said to her older husband, I think we ought to show hospitality to the man of God. I think that we ought to show hospitality to him. He has to travel back and forth. I think we ought to build a little chamber room, a little day room for him, that when he comes in, he can refresh himself. Amen. And you know, that was a great encouragement to Elisha. That was a great benefit to Elisha. And so he would utilize that. And so then he began to ask, what in the world could we ever do for that kindness? And so his attendant said, well, she doesn't have a son, and her husband's old. What was he saying about that? She's barren, and her husband can't be fruitful anymore. She has no, the hope that she had of a husband, the dream, the hope she had of a son, the dream she had of a heritage, the desire that she had for perpetuating, you know, the race that the Messiah would come through, all that's about to die. All of that's about gone. But what did the prophet, the man of God, say? You tell her, thus saith the Lord, by this season next year, she will have a son. When the word of the Lord, when the prophetic word was given to her, she said, my Lord, don't lie to your servant. Don't get off of that. Don't go telling that. Don't build my hopes up. I've done a good job of letting my hopes die. I've done a good job of letting my dream die. I've done a good job of just accepting what is as is. Right. But the prophet says, no. This season next year, you are going to have a son by the power of Almighty God. Now, does anybody need the power of the prophetic word spoken into your life? Because when the power of the prophetic word is spoken into your life, then God can bring life out of death, but he brings fruitfulness out of barrenness. Amen? But oh, there's a third powerful truth about prophetic words. Not only is it, but it has the power to create something inside of you. Whenever God releases a prophetic word into your life, it has the power with it to create something inside of you. You see, what she had inside of her was hopelessness. What she had inside of her was unbelief. What she had inside of her was just simply natural. But God was wanting to put supernatural back into her. God was wanting to put fruitfulness back into her. God was wanting to put life back into her. And this came from the release of the prophetic word. I want to tell you, just like we were singing a little bit earlier, every promise that he has made, every prophecy that he has said, if he said it, he will do it. Amen? And here is the double portion anointed Elisha going forth. People can see that anointing on him. And he throws his mantle down and the Jordan splits. He walks on dry land, and then he comes to this widow's house. He comes to this the Shunammite woman's house, and she is barren, and she has no fruit of the womb. And God says, "I want to tell you in the power of the Jesus of the God of Yahweh, I'm going to create something inside of you supernaturally." Amen. Whenever prophetic words are spoken into you, God implants truth inside of you. God implants life inside of you. And that life and that truth begins to produce hope. And that hope begins to produce faith. And that faith begins to produce expectation. And that expectation begins to build obedience. And out of that obedience comes your miracle. Amen?
All right. Amen?
You see, what did this woman do every day after that word was spoken to her? She began walking like a pregnant woman. You just ask her, I'm pregnant. What are you pregnant with? Same thing Mary's going to be pregnant with. Mary got pregnant with a word. Amen? What did Simon Peter walk on water with? He walked on water with a word. And that word of God was spoken. It has the power to create something inside of you. But look at the fourth thing. Look at the fourth thing that I want to show you. The prophetic word has the power to set you on course for your destiny. The prophetic word has the power to set you on course for your destiny, and it has the power to reveal something to you that you did not know. When God reveals something to you that you did not know, and you embrace that for yourself, it puts you on course for your destiny. And when you have that, and I have that, then we have to decide, are we going to believe the prophetic word that was spoken to me, or I'm going to believe the negative circumstances that are around me? You see, when that woman returned home that day, she still had the old husband. Amen. But when that woman returned home that day and she shared the word with her husband, God brought life back to that husband. And he brought life back to her himself. Amen. And it has the power to set you on course for your destiny. Now can you see why the New Testament says this about prophecy? Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to what?
Prophesy.
Ooh, mercy. Desire earnestly to prophesy. What are you doing when you're prophesying? You are speaking the future that God has revealed to you. You are proclaiming the truth that God has revealed to you, and it will find its fulfillment in the future. The power of the prophetic word. And look at this. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy.
Yes.
And do not forbid to speak in tongues.
Yes.
The church has by and large lost its power because we don't want anybody speaking in tongues.
All right.
And we don't want anybody prophesying.
Amen.
But God has secured the continuation of the prophetic ministry for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry at hand. Amen? So you know what we need? We need revelation to be received. We need impartation to be desired. And we need manifestations to be observed. And we need the continuation to be secured. Amen?
Yes.
Would anybody say, even so?
Even so.
Let it be.
Let it be.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Fill this house
with blessing.
Fill this house
with grace.
Fill this house
with mercy.
Fill this house
with your spirit.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now let me ask you this. Has God given you a promise that hasn't been fulfilled? Pastor David, can we do that offering song again for the invitation? We might need some helpers. We might need some helpers here. But I believe that God is going to bring a revelation to you about something that he is going to do for you. I believe God is going to release an anointing upon you. But also I believe God is going to help some of you remember some promises that God has made to you in the past.
All right.
I believe he's going to help some of you remember prophecies that have been spoken over you in the past. And every promise that he's made,
yes,
every prophecy that he's given, he will do it. Amen. For some of you, you might need to come and say, Lord, I want you to give me revelation.
Amen.
You've got a problem that you're dealing with. You've got a choice, a decision that you have to make, and you need revelation.
Right.
You don't need flesh and blood on this.
Amen.
You need the Father in heaven to reveal the answer to you. I believe there's questions before you right now that flesh and blood answers aren't going to get you where you want to get. But only the prophetic revelation from God will happen. Amen?
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.